Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 98 of Let's Talk with Scoggs with Arielle Belvalere. She is the epitome of being more than just one thing. Arielle is an accomplished guitarist, singer, songwriter, acrobatics, and just all-around entertainer. She is certainly mature for her age and so well-spoken. I'm just blown away by anyone at any age who has such discipline and focus on their craft and what they want to be good at. And she is the epitome of that in so many different ways, the way she's been able to focus on her music and what she wants. But at the same time, in our conversation, there's like just as much, I don't want to speak for her, but insecurities and doubt of growing up and being in the spotlight and everything. So it's such a human side to such an aspirational side of who she is. And she has got some new music out. The Elastic music video is incredible. So if you haven't had a chance to check her out or you're not sure where to start, there we have it. She's also got a song out called Diamonds or Coal. She's just fantastic. I think you're going to really be impressed with our conversation and just, like I said, how focused she is. It is something that I admire in anyone, whether it's you're really focused on your mental health or a skill or maybe both. Really blown away by Arielle. So grateful for the conversation, and I hope you have your curiosity sparked and maybe leave this with a little motivation to get going on something that maybe you've put to the side and you want to focus on and improve your skills in. So without further ado, here's episode 98 with Arielle Belvalere. Okay, Arielle.
Hello.
I'm so excited to chat with you because, my goodness, you're good at so many things.
Well, thank you so much. I try. I dabble a little bit in everything.
Yeah, you sure do. So just right off the bat, just an observation. I am finding it hard to find a photo of you on your Instagram feed without a guitar.
Yeah, I don't think I function well without an instrument in my hand. I don't know what I'm doing.
Are you holding one right now, or you've allowed yourself a little bit of freedom for the interview?
I mean, there's one right next to me, and the cord is still kind of wrapped around me, so that counts, right?
Oh, my goodness. So, I mean, do they have names? How many do you have? I'm just so infatuated with your passion and love for guitar playing.
Oh, man, of course they have names. My main one, her name is Bay. We call her my wife just because, like, she's always with me and travels with me. And she doesn't fight back, which is awesome. So, that's Bay. I have a red Telecaster named Reba after Reba McEntire just because it's
nice.
Red.
Nice.
I've got another one that looks just like my main one, same settings and everything. That's Tara. I've got a couple other ones that don't have names yet. I've got three acoustics. One is a brand new Fender Acoustasonic, so it looks just like an electric Stratocaster, but it's an acoustic and it plays really nice. And I think I have three other Fenders here too, and then a couple more at my parents' house in Connecticut, but they didn't quite make the California trip with me.
I mean, I can't imagine how many you could fit, you know, to bring for a move like that. So,
I mean, I got weird enough looks for having three guitars the first time.
Yeah. Okay, so you've got over 10 in general, over 10.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay. You can never have enough, right?
Sure. I mean, and how often do you break strings anymore, or are you sort of past that?
You know what's really amazing? I used to not break strings all that much. The only time it would ever happen was like on stage, and I'm like, are you kidding me? I never break strings. But then Ernie Ball actually came out with a new string series called the Paradigm Series, and they're known for not breaking. And it's kind of a blessing and a curse. I never break strings, but at the same time, now that I don't change them as much either. So my strings will be like really dirty, and I'll be like, all right, my fingers are black. It is time to change my strings. Yeah, they work really well for tour.
Nice. And just to be completely transparent with you, I can play a couple chords.
Yes.
I have a capo, so it sort of opens things up and, you know, I can have a little fun.
Yeah.
And I have a little ukulele, but by no means am I going to pretend like I know about guitars because you are in a league of your own, you know, all that.
Well, the cool thing about guitar is like there really shouldn't be levels. It's all about just expressing yourself and having fun. So you're a musician too. That's really what music should be about.
Yeah, that's true. But take me back, because I'm always curious how someone gets started. We all have different stories, whether it's a family member or you just are inspired by, you know, music on your own accord. So what is your sort of origin story with music and playing guitar, and how did that all get, you know, started for you?
Yeah, I always loved to sing. And then I really fell in love with Avril Lavigne as a kid. I didn't want to be like her. I specifically wanted to be her and would get really mad if somebody called me Ariel as opposed to Avril. That didn't really work well in school, but I tried anyway. So I started singing, and my mom put me in voice lessons. And the studio I took lessons at actually had a program called Rock Band Jam, where they take different kids playing each instrument and put a band together and coach you as a band. So I did that as a summer camp, and I was just in love with it. And our first show, they had us do a little recital at a local pub. So my first show at 10 years old was singing on a pub stage, and I just completely fell in love with music and kept doing the Rock Band Jam program. And we lost our guitar player in the band to soccer or maybe another band, whatever kids do, I don't know. And then I was like, oh, I know like three chords. I saw Avril Lavigne holding a guitar. I guess this is okay. So I just started playing, and the second I picked up a guitar, I had to learn how to sing and play, and knew I had to actually perform these songs. So I would practice really hard and just practice performing, singing, and playing. And then having the band situation just got me so much better. And then actually performing for the first time was like a whole nother level. And then I heard the song Crazy Train from Ozzy Osbourne, and I was like, oh my God, I don't want to be Avril Lavigne anymore. I love her, but I want to do that. So that solo came along. I think I had to like scrape my jaw up off the floor because I was just blown away. And I was like, okay, I don't even want to play the intro. I want to play that solo. So I started learning like guitar solos the best I could for like a 12-year-old girl at the time. Mm-hmm. And brought that song into the band to start learning it. And the first time I played a live show where I did a guitar solo, the audience was just silent. And I was like, oh my God, was I really that bad? I mean, I know there's a couple squeaky missed notes, but really? And then they just started cheering, saying, oh my God, a little girl just played that guitar solo. Uh-huh. So, yeah, I was like, oh, it's like that. And then I was addicted. It was all over.
Mm-hmm. Do you kind of get into that, they call it like a flow state sort of? I think athletes use the phrase like that. They're in the pocket when they're like in the zone. And I imagine when you're playing guitar and you're just sort of like noodling around and people like these jaws are on the floor. Do you feel like it's a meditative state that you're in? Are you like super focused and just can find yourself in the moment?
Oh, totally. Totally. I feel like I'm the most at home when there's a guitar in my hands. Well, I think I'm also really in love with performing too. Like, don't get me wrong. I love practicing and learning new things, but there's something about like seeing other people react to me playing and just really enjoy it. Like we went camping at a group campsite last weekend, and it was the first, you know, time we've been around people since COVID. And by around people, I mean like they were at like campsites far away, but it was close enough. And I brought my guitar, and there was some little girls nearby. So of course I did like the rock version of Frozen and all of that. And just seeing these little girls go nuts, like they were just dancing, going all out. And I was kind of in a meditative state, just watching them just feel the music. It was just so good.
Oh, I love that. And it's funny, too, because you had said that seeing Avril hold a guitar made you realize, oh, I can pick up a guitar.
Absolutely.
So you playing for those girls shows them you can do this, too. And
yeah.
I mean, I assume that we're just – I'm in my 30s. I'm not going to ask you your age because I think that's rude. But just I imagine that we're of different generations, so to speak. But
right.
I mean, I remember watching – this is going to really age me – TRL, Total
Request
Live on MTV. And Michelle Branch was an upcoming you know, pop star. And, you know, Carson Daly's like asking her questions in between music videos. And one of the questions he asked her was, when did you start playing guitar? And she said, this is my memory of it, so don't quote me on this, Michelle Branch fans. I apologize. But my memory of it is that she told him that she got a guitar and locked herself in her room until she could do it.
Yes.
And I was like, that is so cool. So then I eventually got a guitar. I locked myself in my bedroom, printed out a chord chart from the internet. And just learned, you know, just a couple of things so I can have fun and like sing along. But it really was not easy. Like, y'all make it look easy because it's effortless and you're in the moment and you're, you know, you look so cool up there. But it is a lot of hard work and practice and diligence.
Oh my God, yes.
One of the things I really like to highlight in these conversations is nothing was built in a day. You have to start small. So how did you stay focused to be able to have the skill level that you have now? I'm sure some of it is natural talent, but is there anything that you can speak to for anyone listening that doesn't take to something naturally immediately and that you have to keep practicing? You have to stay focused. Do you have any words of wisdom to share?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the main thing is to find one song, just one song that you love so much. Find an easy one to start with, but something that reminds you of why you love it in the first place. Because like when you're trying to learn these other songs that are completely out of your comfort zone, you're just going to be like, I hate this. I don't want to do this. And then sometimes taking a break and going back to that one song you can play and love just like completely changes your mindset. And then you can go back to the other thing, get a little farther, get frustrated again, go back to the one, your little happy place, and just like, you know, break it up, like really break it up. And I also find watching videos helps the most. Like you can hear things. Sheet music is great, but just watching makes it so much easier to break down. But really just finding that happy song that will take you out of the frustration and remind you why you love it is just so important, because there are so many times I've wanted to smash my guitar too. Hopefully I didn't.
And the calluses are real. So if you get calluses, just work through them.
Yes. I learned this at summer camp. They were like, who wants to be a rock star? And they hold up an acoustic guitar and they're like, oh yeah, you can either do arts and crafts, archery, or acoustic guitar. So I'm like the only one that ran over to the acoustic guitar. Granted, I wanted to be a shredder, but I was like, close enough, I'll take it. And I think that was like the first time I really played in a group other than my band. And it was acoustic guitar every day for an hour. And my fingers were on fire. Uh-huh. And then it was like 2 weeks of that every day. And then I was like, all right, we're good now. So it was like 2 weeks of pain. And then you just got to keep consistently going to keep them.
Yes. I think it's one of those hobbies, or in your set, and you know, for you, it's not a hobby, but if you want to pick it up as a hobby, it's one of those things where if it's fun, you'll work through it. You'll Absolutely. Keep practicing. You'll keep grabbing it. I love what you said about find your happy song, something that you love. Because I'm thinking back and I'm like, yeah, the first song I learned to play was just a song that I really liked and I knew it really well. So it just, and I just worked through it. You're so right.
Absolutely. And I think the other really cool thing is like, most people think starting out on guitar means you have to learn how to read music. You have to do, quote, the boring stuff first. And yeah, that is really great to know. But I even tell my students, from day one, let's find a song you really love. We'll do like an easy one string version of it to make up for the boring stuff, so they will stick to it and like it. It's so good.
Oh, okay. I mean, I think I could talk to you forever about this, because I'm just so right? curious, and you're so talented, and I'm just learning so much. But I also want to talk to you about aerial gymnastics.
Yes.
I watched the video for Elastic, and then I went on your Instagram page, and I was just – this is the only time you don't have a guitar in your hand, I'm guessing.
Yeah, right? Well, sometimes I still do.
Well, in the video, yeah. Yes. So where does aerial gymnast work in with shredding guitar?
You know, it's actually really funny. Music and gymnastics kind of came around the same time. I was technically a gymnast first as a kid. I was in gymnastics summer camp because nobody could keep me from attempting to flip around the backyard. So they were like, all right, let's just enroll her in gymnastics so she doesn't break her head. So I was on the balance beam at summer camp, and that's actually where I heard Avril Lavigne for the first time on the radio. So I was like in my happy place. I was trying to run around and do backflips, and then I heard Avril, but I didn't play yet. So I was just doing gymnastics at the time, and then went to competitive gymnastics while still like keeping an eye on Avril and starting to sing. So I was always like running around and just doing the hardest tricks I could do and was just fearless at the time. And gymnastics always stuck with me. So when I started actually performing, one of the first tricks I incorporated in my live shows was just a split while doing the guitar, and the audience loved it. So I was like, oh, okay, I can totally combine this. And then fast forward years later, I think I've been doing aerial maybe 4 years now, 3 or 4. I found a workout class in LA where it was like circus workout, and it had all the aerial equipment. I was like, oh, I'd be into that. And it was so similar to gymnastics that I just completely fell in love. And my next thing is like, when I find something I'm good at that looks cool, my next question is always, how can I add my guitar? So I did. It was kind of funny. I actually had a guitar strap that went around my waist. And the whole point of that was just to keep it off your shoulders so you don't injure yourself or get sore shoulders. So I did the complete opposite with it and was like, oh, cool, I can do dangerous stunts with this now. And it totally worked. The guitar didn't fall on my head. I could hang upside down. We were good. And it was nice. Just all over.
Wow. You're just a little ball of energy.
Oh, way too much energy.
Do you have like a vitamin regimen? Is this just you naturally? Like what is going on behind the scenes? Cause I need to learn from you. How do you have this much energy, but also at the same time, you're very focused.
Oh, totally. I have to have lists because I have so much energy that I'm just all over the place unless I have like a listed out to-do list daily. I am actually allergic to pretty much every single food ever that has any sort of chemical, nitrate, food coloring, anything processed. So I have to eat so clean. So I think that contributes to it a lot too. And I do take daily vitamins, mostly hair vitamins, but that counts, right?
I mean, you have beautiful hair. If anyone listening hasn't seen Ariel's Instagram page, she's beautiful curls.
Oh, thank
hair.
You.
Hey everyone, sorry for the interruption, but we have to thank our incredible sponsor this week, Dame. Dame is a woman-founded company making products for sex that close the pleasure gap. Women are 4 times more likely than men to say that sex is, quote, not at all pleasurable in the past year. There is nothing wrong with taking care of yourself and finding the pleasure that you deserve. So Dame is here. They have developed and tested products by real people, and they're engineered to bring solo and couple play to new heights. Now, on their website, they have all kinds of different products, and they want you to really own your pleasure. They have a bestseller section, but let me tell you about one of their products, Eva. It is a couple's vibrator, no hands, no hassles. All of their products are made of the highest quality medical grade silicone. They have smart design principles, and there is tons and tons of engineering and thought that goes into all of these products. So whether you're a couple looking for an extra boost where it matters, or maybe you're on a self-discovery and self-exploration journey, Dame has tons of products available to you. And they also are being so generous and are giving all of our listeners an amazing offer. So if you go to dameproducts.com/scogs today, you will get 15% off site-wide. That is an incredible offer. So here it is once more. Again, go to dameproducts.com/scogs, S-C-O-G-G-S, and you will get 15% off site-wide. Thank you, Dame. Thank you for your mission, and thank you for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. All right, let's finish our conversation. Shredding and gymnastics. When did you start turning yourself into like a songwriter and, you know, not covering songs, but kind of playing, you know, stuff that was more original and that spoke more to your story?
Yeah. So wanting to be Avril quickly translated to I want to be a rock star because I actually love being on stage. So once I got over wanting to be her, which was probably around 10 maybe when I stepped foot on the stage, I was just like, all right, I'm going to be my own rock star. I started writing songs about, you know, the other kids in school because kids are mean.
Of course.
And, you know, that kind of started my angry song anthem phase. Like, I've written maybe 3 happy songs and they just don't resonate as well. Like, songwriting was always therapy for me. So I had my first song probably around 11 or 12 that I started playing with the kid band. And they loved it, so I just kept writing from there and just tried to keep developing as a solo artist. And then when I was old enough to actually be a solo artist, I started getting hired to play guitar in other bigger bands as well. Wow. So it was always kind of like a parallel, like the guitarist and then the solo artist. Mm-hmm. But the solo artist is where I always wanted to be.
Mm-hmm. And I had read that you have performed on Broadway.
Oh my God. I think that was probably the coolest show I have ever done ever.
Tell me everything.
Oh my God. So not only was it a Broadway show, but it was the Broadway Prince tribute.
Oh.
So yeah, we did every single song from the Dearly Beloved. Actually the show was called Dearly Beloved, but it was the Purple Rain movie. Mm-hmm. So we had the lead actor from Wicked who played Prince. The lead actress from Hedwig played Apollonia, and it was just so amazing. Like, I knew the Broadway people were talented, but like being on stage with them, they are otherworldly. It's amazing. And I'm just like sitting there playing guitar and they're just like, you're so good. I'm like, don't even try that right now. I heard you sing.
Yeah.
No, they're so nice too. It was so good.
Well, Broadway, and again, I'm not on Broadway, but this is just like, you know, me watching and seeing how it unfolds and the reputation it has, is that folks on Broadway, like you, are very disciplined, very focused. They own their craft.
Oh, yes.
They will stay late. They will show up early to put on the best show they possibly can because this is it for them. This is what they dream of. This is what they
see.
You know, this is what they eat, sleep, and drink, that whole thing. But there's also this, as a rock star, there's also kind of that persona of like, I don't care. Like, I'm just playing in the garage. I don't take myself too seriously. And you're sort of like more Broadway mentality than like garage rock band mentality sort of thing.
Oh my God. I care way too much. I mean, I'm definitely getting better at caring less. Mm-hmm. But man, when I first started, I was such a perfectionist. And when you're just starting, there's just no possible way you can be perfect. You just can't. Mm-hmm. And I really started my guitar career by posting videos on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't great because I had just started and I had like my video somehow went viral when I was 15 and I was trying to play a guitar solo. And I had just so many people attacking me saying, oh my God, you suck, you get back to the kitchen, because I was one of the first female guitarists on YouTube. Yeah, 15 years old. People telling me to kill myself, and I'm just God, I'm just a little girl playing guitar. So I think that kind of like took the I don't care vibe out of it. Mm-hmm. It was like, I have to get better because this world is brutal. The internet is brutal. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things where as much of a perfectionist as I was, when I stepped live on stage, like, I almost didn't care. I was so in the moment that it made it all worthwhile. But, like, when I was home practicing, I cared way too much, which I think helped get me to where I am as well.
Sure. There's, like, a balance, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Staying focused and motivated, but also not letting other people's opinions deter you from following your dreams. So I'm glad that you stayed the course.
Oh man, I loved it too much to quit. Like, I'm pretty sure I contemplated quitting music a couple times, but I'm pretty sure that thought lasted maybe a day or so tops. Cause like you put a guitar in my hand and I was like, this is it. I'm done.
Yeah.
I have no other life.
Yeah. And tell everyone, I mean, I've watched the video, listened to the song, but anyone who maybe doesn't know Elastic, what's the story behind it? What does it mean to you?
So Elastic is about a rocky relationship. I'm sure we've all had those where you kind of one foot in, one foot out. One of the one of the party members wants to commit, the other one, you don't even know where they stand. So it's like you pull away, they pull you back, you pull away. You know, it's just a whole back and forth type thing. But no matter what, you kind of keep snapping back like an elastic.
Ah.
And yeah, so I had one of those relationships, several, but this one in particular was really fun when it was, you know, feeling like it was going to go somewhere. So I really wanted to bring that fun, upbeat element into the song, even though it's not the happiest of lyrics, because the relationship, when it was good, it was really good. So, you know, trying to bring the pop rock anthem into the song.
Mm-hmm. And what was it like to make that video?
That video was probably the coolest thing I've ever done, like, ever. The director, his name is Hunter McCann. He's amazing. And, you know, he's all about over-the-top visuals, too. And he was like, well, if you can play guitar, like, upside down, how do you feel about, you know, playing guitar on the back of a moving motorcycle? And I was just like, oh, that sounds terrifying. I'm in. So for that scene, we drove out to the desert at 3 a.m. to get there at 5 a.m. to get like the first light. Mm. And I had no idea what I was doing, but I had my guitar on. I had in-ear monitors so I could hear the song. And they would start driving on the motorcycle. And, you know, as soon as the motorcycle would start, I would stand up like I'm ready to start playing. And then we had a Sprinter van driving alongside of us with the camera sticking out the door. So we're like, I'm moving on the motorcycle and the camera's following me in a van with the door open. And I would just give them the thumbs up, like saying, I'm standing up, I'm secure, I'm ready. And then we would just start the song and I would just go for it.
Oh, goodness. Everybody needs to watch it.
So fun.
It's so fun. Cool.
But now I'm just like, what dangerous stunts can I do with the guitar in the next video to top that? I don't even know.
I'm sure you will come up with something. I was also sent a little preview, and I think by the time this comes out, this will be available. But Diamonds Are Coal, I got sent a link to that song. And I'm pretty sure by the time this interview airs, that song will also be available. So what can you tell us about that song?
Oh, man, this song kind of fits in with Elastic. I have way too many rocky relationships, more than I would like to admit. And, you know, same thing, like you're going back and forth. Like the lyrics are we gonna shine forever? Are we diamonds or coal? Like meaning, are we gonna make it through this rocky patch, or are we gonna completely fall apart? It can go either way, but you're kind of confused. And it's another thing. I just love my pop rock bangers where you can just like rock out to it. Because, you know, relationship angst that just fits so well in a rock song.
It does. It truly does. And so are you actively dating? Do you just come into these relationships? Because I would imagine your schedule is packed. I don't even know how you would have time to date.
Oh, man, I do not have time for that. Thankfully, 3 years ago, I met the love of my life, and he wants nothing to do with social media. So nice. I'm just like, cool, that part of my life is done. I'm set. I'm happy. I can just focus on music. And it takes a very strong person to to date me, because I am so focused that, you know, guitar is always number one. Don't tell anybody else this. My guinea pig is number two.
Okay.
Then they're number three. So it takes a very supportive person to just handle me. And thankfully I have that. So I'm just all set and can just focus on music.
Mm-hmm. And when you were, you know, young, starting out, and you kind of shared with, you know, your family, these are my dreams, were they aware of how talented you are, or were they a little bit hesitant? Because, you know, the music business is tough. It's not easy.
It is so tough, especially like growing up like I did. My parents are both in real estate. Like, we didn't have musicians in the family. Mm. So it was a completely new territory, but they were the most supportive ever. They would see me on stage and be like, that's my daughter. They were super into it and just tried everything they could. Like, they would bring me to different bars when I was completely underage. I had to have like big X's put on my hands just so I could step in and play with all the local bands. And that's how I really got my start, just stepping in with every band I could. And my parents would just take me everywhere. They would drive me into New York City from Connecticut to, you know, do auditions, do voice lessons, record. And that's really how I got my start. Like, we were just such a great unit at the beginning.
That's so sweet. Oh, I love that. I love it so much. And not to get too far ahead of ourselves, because I believe in staying in the moment. And
yes.
But when you daydream, mm-hmm. where do you want your career to be? What do you want your legacy to be? Like, what Avril did for you, what do you, you know, do you know what I'm saying? Like, what do you daydream about with your career?
I know that I'm just meant to just perform for people, inspire them, kind of like Avril did for me. Mm-hmm. But like, my place is on tour, on the stage, just performing with everything I have, giving people an experience and just really inspiring them to follow their dreams. Because if I can do it, a little girl from Connecticut who had no music background, anybody can do it. It just takes a lot of patience, perseverance, and just passion. And this past camping trip this weekend, seeing these little girls just rock out with me, it was just a huge reminder of why I do what I do. And, you know, they're like playing air guitar and I'm just like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. This has to be my career. Like, I will just make it because I love it. And just other people love it too. And it's great to share the gift.
Yeah. I'm glad that you keep touching on the patience and the perseverance and the persistence piece. Oh, yes. Because like I said, I think a lot of folks don't realize how hard it is. And it doesn't just happen. You have to work and you have to be driven to things and sign up for things and learn new skills. Like, it's a lot of work.
Oh yeah. Like, I started really being a solo artist when I was 15 years old. And that was a long time ago. I just released my first like single that got, you know, any sort of views in November. I mean, that was a long time. It does not happen overnight.
Right. Yeah. I just like to remind everyone of that, whether you want to be a lawyer or you want to be a musician, there's a lot of work that goes into it. It takes a lot of nights for an overnight success kind of.
Oh, yes.
And don't compare your chapter one to someone else's chapter 20.
Oh my God, that's so hard, especially like with social media too.
Uh-huh.
Because you'll see somebody doing something and, you know, social media glamorizes everything. Like, they could be doing a show at a local bar and it seems like they're playing Madison Square Garden. Like, you don't know. So you just have to keep going. Sometimes it's best to even stay off social media, like literally just schedule time to, you know, do a post and engage just because, you know, it helps your career. But sometimes it's best to just have a scheduled time and then just, you know, focus on what you're actually doing for the rest of the day. That helped a lot too.
I couldn't agree more. Could not agree more. Well, Arielle, I'd love to get to know you better outside of your music. So I've got a little game I'd like to play with you.
Ooh, I'm so in.
Ooh, it's called Overshare. And it's kind of like we're on a first date. I've got silly questions, more thoughtful questions, and we both have to share and get to know each other.
Bring it on.
Okay, so I pulled out the bag. The first question we landed on is, what's your morning routine?
I'm crazy. So I've been trying so hard to wake up at 6 just because I have so much to do, but that doesn't always happen. So we'll pretend it's a day where I actually do it. Mm-hmm. So I start out getting up at 6. I try to drink a full glass of water because, you know, you got to. Mm-hmm. Do at least 10 minutes of yoga. Clean the guinea pig's cage while doing vocal exercises. You know, write my to-do list of all the music things I have to do. And then I just like to watch YouTube videos, usually the YouTube psychic videos, for like 20 minutes. And then, you know, I'll actually start with the tasks I actually have to do.
Mm-hmm. So you kind of ease into the day.
Absolutely. I find if I don't get up early, I just start working and then I just get overwhelmed. So I kind of have to ease into it.
I feel like I've learned that lesson recently as well. That it's,
yes.
It's hard to wake up early. My alarm is set for 6:15.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you, it doesn't always happen, but yep. I try. You know, there's some like feed the dog.
Yep.
Kind of like make sure the house is straightened up and
yep.
I should probably take a note from you and drink some more water in the morning. I forget to do that.
I have to incorporate that.
Yeah, I'm going to incorporate that. There's some coffee, like a quick check of the weather for the day. And then I like if I'm going to work, I have to have the house clean. There can't be, you know, anything messy in the house. I'm not sure what that is about my personality, but everything needs to be straightened up before I can like sit down and focus. Oh, I'm also great. A big to-do list person, so yes. I'm aligned with you there. And I think I could probably be better about easing into my morning, like maybe doing like a little meditation or a little stretching.
Oh, yes.
I'm really into yoga as well.
Amazing.
So maybe I should incorporate some things that you've shared into my day.
Oh, totally. Do you find that if you don't write it down on the to-do list, it just does not happen?
Yes.
Yep.
Absolutely. And then it's a panic at 8 o'clock at night. I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't do the thing. And then it's scrambled. It's one of the worst feelings. My anxiety just spikes when that happens.
Oh my God, yes. Anxiety, that is real.
Mm-hmm. Okay, next question. Who had the biggest impact on the person that you have become?
Ooh, well, obviously, I gotta give that one to Avril because she made me want to be a musician. But when I started really getting into guitar, I fell madly in love with Ozzy, specifically Randy Rhoads, his guitar player. That made me the guitarist I am. And then, you know, along came Eddie Van Halen, and I was like, oh, that's really cool too. Probably Avril and Ozzy kind of got me my start being a musician and then being a rock and roller. And Pink, watching her perform was like, okay, I'm not the only one that does aerial. And it looks really cool on stage. What motivation? Like, it's so cool.
She did a performance recently with her daughter. Both of them doing it. I was like, what is even happening?
I know. I almost cried. Just don't tell anybody. I'm supposed to be a badass.
I mean, this question is really hard. I don't know that I have an answer outside of, you know, the obvious being my parents. You know, they raised me, loved me unconditionally, and it wasn't – I didn't have a lot of focus as a kid. I sort of did soccer and softball and basketball and softball. Like, I just – and they drove me to everything. They cheered for me at everything. And as I get older, I really see – the things that they instilled in me that as a younger woman, I didn't really appreciate. And now I'm like, oh, that's what that was. Oh.
Right. It's kind of amazing how you realize it later on.
Yes, totally. Even like little things, like when I go to fold my laundry, I'm like, I'm folding it just like my mom does. Look at that.
Oh, that's amazing.
Look what's happening. It's sort of funny.
But
there are things too in retrospect. Like there's teachers that I've had a big impact on me, coaches.
Oh, yeah.
And if I were to pick like a celebrity that had an impact on me, I mean, I didn't follow in her footsteps at all, but Hayley Williams is magnificently large. I feel like I grew up with her and have just been to so many of her shows and just love her songwriting and where she's taken her career. So I don't know if she's – I mean, I don't know her personally. So I can't – I don't know if I can say she had an impact on me. I didn't become a musician. But just her finding her voice as a woman and all that sort of stuff, I think that did have an impact on me.
Right.
And being more comfortable with who I am.
She's amazing. Paramore was one of the coolest shows I'd been to. Just their energy on stage. Nobody does that. It's amazing.
Yes. And her voice, I just love
that. Oh, she's one of the best.
Yes. Love.
Oh, so
okay, we have one more.
Ooh.
Okay, this is fun. What was the last movie you watched, and did you like it?
Oh, man. I'm trying to think. You know, it's kind of funny. I have a really hard time with movies because I can't sit still.
Still.
What was the last one I watched? Recently, it's been all the crime documentaries on Netflix.
Uh-huh. Which ones have you been watching?
We just started, what was it? The Greatest Heists, or like bank robberies. That one was pretty crazy. Let's see. I think the last movie I watched was actually Happy Gilmore. I can sit through that one.
Oh, that's a classic.
You can't go wrong with Adam Sandler. It's just so good.
All the Adam Sandler movies of the 90s were totally comfort movies for me. Oh, my goodness.
So good. So good. They don't make movies like that anymore. They're just so funny and raw.
They're just so silly.
They're ridiculous.
Yeah. We had, and again, it's not a movie. It's a TV show. It felt like a movie. But Mayor of Easttown on HBO is like a crime series starring Kate Winslet. Wait, the gal from Titanic.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Okay. And it takes place in Philadelphia, and this girl goes missing, and she's got to solve it, and it goes this way, and then it goes that way, and you're like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Oh, I can't believe this. It felt like a movie, but it's like 7 episodes. It's a 7-hour movie, basically. I was on the edge of my seat the whole time, and I'm like you. I have a lot of sort of nervous energy, I guess, maybe is more what my energy is. So I have a hard time paying attention for a long time. And I was just wrapped up in that story.
Man. Ozark got me pretty hard, too.
I need to watch that. That's on my list.
So good.
I need to watch
it. So good. I was able to sit through the whole thing.
Okay. So the last little bit of all of these episodes is giving advice. Do you like giving advice?
I do it all the time.
Okay, great. So, you know, these questions come in randomly. There's not any rhyme or reason, but I have been sort of repurposing the questions because it's interesting to hear different people's perspectives and how they would tackle this advice. So this is one that I've gotten before from a gentleman. So I'm going to get a girl's opinion on this.
Yeah.
One. So this question is from Morgan, Luck of the Draw. This segment is called Asking for a Friend. So
awesome.
Morgan wants to know, how do you stay motivated when nothing is going your way and you feel like giving up? Do you have any advice that you would give to a very best friend of yours who has the same question?
Yeah, that actually happens a lot. You know, again, particularly with social media, when you try to compare yourself to what other people are doing. But I found it's really helpful to just, you know, get a piece of paper out, or I have a whole designated notebook for this. Put on some music in the background, light a candle, and write down specifically what your goals are. And then write down anything you can think of steps to take on how to attain these goals. It can be the most, you know, impossible sounding goal ever. But if you actually sit there and brainstorm little steps you can take on how to achieve it, it actually doesn't seem impossible. And it actually really helps remotivate you. And then by the time you're done, you're just so inspired and you're like, okay, I'm going to do step one. And then, you know, you do step one and then, you know, you come up with these other steps. And just really writing down everything that's on your mind just as it comes just helps so much.
Help you stay motivated, stay focused.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It is hard. I mean, the entertainment industry is not easy, and we sort of touched on this already, but, you know, there's a lot of no's before you hear yes.
Oh, like, yeah.
Whether you're a musician or you want to work with management teams or you're a photographer, like there's a lot of different aspects of the music industry, and it's hard. It's really difficult.
Yes, it is. You kind of have to take everything with a grain of salt too, because like everybody is going to have an opinion, and it may be what you want to hear, and most of the time it's not. So it's impossible to not get annoyed, but you just have to remember why you love what you do in the first place.
Well, Arielle, you are wise beyond your years. You are talented as heck. You sound like you sit on a rainbow.
Rainbow.
This is just such a delight. And I want to give you the floor so that everybody listening knows where to stream, subscribe, where to follow, what to keep an eye out for. I think, and like I said, I think by the time this airs, Diamonds Are Cool will be available to stream. But the floor is yours.
Yes. So please find me. Be my friend. You can search Arielle Belvalere on any platform. Luckily, by the time you start typing Belvalere just pops up, so you don't have to try to spell it. We're good. It'll be on all platforms. Elastic's already on all platforms. Spotify, Apple Music, all of them. Instagram's my favorite platform. That gets the most content. You'll get to meet my guinea pig, Gucci. He's in all my music videos. See aerial gymnastics and just be my friend, please.
Yay. Well, Arielle, you are just such a ball of energy. This really brightened up my day.
Thank you.
Please come back anytime. There's anything else that you want to talk about or promote or just, you know, to update everyone on what you're doing. But thank you so much for being so generous in this conversation.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
Yeah, alrighty. We'll talk soon.
Thanks so much.